Attorney Glenn Wilkinson here with us, and so Frank, go ahead and take it away.
Okay. I'd like to move to add $25,000 to the contingent fund for our Article 26 obligations with regard to the district attorney and the SPCA.
All right, do I have a second? Jim seconds.
Let me give you a little dog and pony, no pun intended, on what this is about, and then, pardon me?
Just speak up a little bit.
Excuse me, I can't hear you. Carol, what it entails is, under Article 26, the county has, it's a mandate that we provide for investigations regarding cruelty complaints. Can you hear me now? It's like Verizon. The best, one of the most recent cases that you will be familiar with that gives you some idea of the type of things that go into this is that case of Princess the dog that was up in Collegetown. It resulted in about $1,800 in boarding fees, about $3,000 in medical exams and medical costs, and the staff time for both the SPCA and the DA, which are not really included. We don't have to use this money unless there's a cruelty investigation, and I want to give Gwen a chance to describe what it is that the DA's office does when they impound evidence and whatnot. This is a mandated program by the state. Some of you will remember several years back when there was a series of attacks up at Cornell on their sheep herd, or their sheep flock, excuse me, by a pack of dogs. The county had to foot the bill for that investigation as well. So we can't wiggle out of this one. We have to pay whatever the freight is. We may use none of it. We may use all of it. We may use even more than what I'm asking for here. We simply don't know. I have two other examples I can give you, but I know Gwen might be on a short time frame here because of a case that she's involved with.
No, you go ahead, Frank.
Is that okay?
I'm good.
I can stop there, but I have other examples. The other one that's most recent is the horse cruelty case in Freeville. There were 9 horses that were determined to be underweight and cruelly treated, and they had to board them and take them in. We spent about $800 in veterinary services. Then there was diagnostic course and whatnot. And I have to tell you, from my own experience, and it's borne out in this memo that we received from Abigail Smith back in May, it cost about $300 to board a horse. So the expenses can run up rather quickly. And this is a program we cannot avoid. I'll stop there, Nathan, and if there's questions in between Gwen and I, we'll try to answer them.
Okay. Gwen, would you like to
Can you tell us, Gwen, what the DA's part in this is?
Sure. The DA's role in these cruelty prosecutions has increased since 2001 when the aggravated cruelty statute was passed. That's a statute that provides that it's a Class E felony for someone to torture, maim, or kill an animal acting with wanton cruelty. It's a felony charge, and it's distinguished from the previous law, which is still on the books, which was a misdemeanor and was basically called overdriving, maiming, or torturing, and it was aimed more at livestock, cart horses, livestock-type animals. This new law applies to all animals. In fact, it applies to companion animals specifically. And the thing that makes it a resource-intensive law, if we're going to prosecute under it, is because it requires you to prove wanton cruelty, which is comparable in law to depraved indifference, which means that you have to have scientific proof or some kind of proof beyond a reasonable doubt that a person behaved in a way that goes beyond the bounds of ordinary garden variety cruelty or disregard for animal life. And when we had the case of Princess, the dog that was beaten and had the bleach and the laundry detergent poured on her, had we been forced to trial, if Mr. Atkin had not chosen to take a plea, we would have had to have hired a forensic expert in veterinary medicine. Those experts that I was already sort of costing out run anywhere between $200 and $500 an hour, counting travel time. They have to study lab results. They have to study reports. They have to study physical examinations. If we have an animal that's dead, the case earlier this year, the case of Mama the goat that was killed and tortured, her body would have had to have been preserved. We would have to have had, again, a forensic pathologist take her body apart to detail the injuries to prove the wanton cruelty. We would have had to have shown what happened in what order and that while she was still living, all these horrible things were done to her. And it all costs money. We have, as I stand here before you tonight, I have a new case on my desk, a companion animal that was brutalized and had to be euthanized. We had a case in late 2007. So just to give you an idea that there's a stream of these, a German Shepherd shot 10 times, still alive, dragged herself out in the yard and died. We didn't have the wherewithal to do the to store the body, keep the body, examine the body, to prosecute the wrongdoers. So I'm here not so much tonight to talk about whether we should be prosecuting these cases. They're on the books now. It's state law. But I'm here to tell you that in order to prosecute them fully under the new aggravated cruelty statute, we're going to need experts, we're going to need freezer space, we're going to need diagnostic tests, we're going to need boarding fees, we're going to need feeding fees, because we have to preserve the evidence, whether it's living or dead. And that's sort of the state of affairs, and if there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Yeah.
Yes, I guess I'm assuming that the reason that this is coming forward now is, I mean, this is a new, because of the new law. I mean, we have not had this in our budget in previous years.
We have been responsible under Article 26 to do cruelty investigations.
And have we put money in the contingency fund in the past?
No. Well, we've set money aside. But we've never, because it's a new responsibility through the DA's office, well, it's a new law that has to be enforced, and the DA is the person that will enforce it. That's why I'd like to set it aside in her budget, simply because we may not have to use it.
Well, that's what I still don't understand, is because you say here the SPCA. So this is going into the district attorney's budget?
Yeah, it's not going into the SPCA's budget. It's going into the DA's budget.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, Gwen, is there any ability to recoup these costs in the course of a trial, or is that not built into the statute?
No. There's no ability to recoup funds expended for, say, expert testimony or lab work. Under the penal law, we can recoup money for restitution. That would be what the owner is out of pocket. So, yes, some funds could be recouped as a result of a conviction and sentence, but certainly not all, no.
Martha.
I'm still trying to understand. So this would go into the DA's budget?
Correct.
So why does it say contingent fund?
I don't know. Just
my understanding, Frank, am I wrong? It's going in the contingent fund for my use when we prosecute, say, aggravated cruelty.
Right.
Okay, so I'm thinking of
it says Article 26 obligations. 4 SPCA should have been scratched out.
Okay. I guess it's in personnel where we have a specific training program. I'm trying to think of the funding model. So Anita's contracted for a specific funding program for X amount of dollars and 2 or 3 years. And that amount of money is not subject to rollover. You've got a particular name for that? We're just saying it's not subject to rollover? Okay. So is it reasonable to identify this in that way so
you
that...
Could.
you could do either way. You could put in $25,000 into the contingent fund, say it's available to the DA, for the DA to draw on, just like the rest of the contingent fund, or you could put $25,000 in the DA's budget saying it's not subject to rollover.
So if we put it in the contingent fund, it has to go through a committee and be voted on for her to draw it, correct? And
correct.
If it's the latter, she can just spend it as long as it's identified that it's that specific purpose. Is that right?
Gee, Martha, I like your idea better.
Do I understand it correctly? That's
the intention, though, with the personnel budget is that will roll forward each year, continue to roll forward. Putting in the contingent fund at the end of the year goes back to the fund balance.
Right. And I'm just saying this sounds like an ongoing cost, I'm afraid. So it seems like the sort of thing that we want to really clearly identify is it's not for your general costs, it's for this purpose, and maybe a year will go by where you don't need to spend it at all. And I presume also that if you run out of the money mid-year, or you know at the end of a year that you're going to need more for the following year, then you come back to us. I'm trying to say is this, it's an ongoing cost. If we put it directly in her budget, identified in this way, then it saves a whole lot of everybody's time.
Would that added access or that easier access be a benefit, Gwen?
Well, it would probably be more convenient in the sense that if we have to retain an expert and give them money in order to have them review a report, it would be more easily accessed than going to the contingent fund. I'm fairly easy to get along with. It's okay with me either way, really.
Okay.
All right, Julie, and then Mike Hattering.
I wondered where the figure 25,000 came from. Was that your recommendation, Gwen?
No, that didn't come from me.
It seems so unpredictable.
That
I would almost rather just not specify anything and have Gwen ask for contingent money.
Well,
that's not what I mean. Money when she needs it.
Frank, response to that?
I just want to respond to that. The problem is sometimes you have to do this rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make a commitment. When the animals were picked up in north of us, again, there were 82 horses that were acquired. In 1 month, they had to spend $20,000 rather quickly, and they had to make commitments to board them all. And that was in an article in the Journal in September. You don't have a choice. I picked $25,000 because we don't know. It could be zero, or it could be $80,000. I mean, as likely. So I think having a little bit of flexibility in the cash might, might provide the DA with an opportunity to take advantage rather quickly, especially if you have to hire someone. I'd hate to have you come back to a committee and need to go through that escapade.
Right. I don't really know what kind of time lag would be involved in trying to access the contingent fund, making a request, and then you do your process and then let me know. Generally, if I want to retain an expert and have them do something, I we're talking about a couple of days is about what I've got to get things rolling, generally speaking, because of court schedules, because of issues that arise. But again, I'm amenable to whatever works best.
Well, I like Martha's suggestion about giving you the flexibility about doing that.
So this is target.
Yeah, I think that would be because we can't predict it, we would have to put it in as a target request. And if you don't spend it, you don't spend it.
No, if you just put it in as one time, then you say it's not subject to, you just let it roll forward.
One time, not subject to rollover?
Yeah.
Was that the way you presented it, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay, that'll still provide. Is that okay with you, Mike? You seconded it.
Did I second it?
Oh, Jim seconded it.
Can you just take it on?
Okay. All right, so that's the new motion. Mike Hattery, then Mike McLair, then Carol Chuck. Leslin and then Carol Chalk.
I was just going to ask about the clarification on whether we're talking Target or One Top, which has been answered.
Okay. All right. I have Mike.
I won't be supporting this. This is a $1 million budget. I think that in those years when these things happen, she can either find it or come to us. If you look on page 261, we've got $1,000 for extradition, $1,000 witness fees for people, not animals. And so I think we will have to adapt as those cases come forward.
All right, Leslie.
I just wanted to ask when what has happened in the past, because I don't remember this being an item. And so I just want to know what has happened.
I'm not sure if you heard my opening remark about the statute passed in 2001.
I heard
okay.
That part.
Well, what's happening now is we're getting police response to cruelty cases where they're being identified as potential felony prosecutions. And so I'm now being called upon to build a case involving proof beyond a reasonable doubt of depraved indifference and wanton cruelty, which gets into complicated stuff, just as it does with people.
Right.
We have to have coroners, you know, the equivalent of coroners, reports, pathologists, et cetera,
right.
Et
no.
cetera.
If I make one, no, I heard your explanation on that, but have there been cases already that you have had to do that with, and how was it paid for?
No, in the Princess case, we were in discussion with the experts, and Mr. Atkin pled guilty.
Okay.
In the Goat case, we were in negotiations with Mr. Slater, and he pled guilty.
Okay.
So, and in the case with the German Shepherd, the body was disposed of, and so I couldn't bring the charge. So that didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
And now, as I stand before you tonight, I have a case involving a dead puppy and another dead house pet by, you know, violent...
You're just a bundle of good news, aren't you?
I'm a ray of sunshine.
I'm eating.
All right. Carol.
I'm having problems supporting this as well. I assume that in a typical year, your caseload comes up with the case, you come up with all kinds of bizarre and horrible things that we don't want to have to think about, but that'll really vary from year to year. And... if it weren't this, it might be something else in a different year, I assume. Is that correct? And
I'm not sure I understand the question.
I guess I'm asking to the extent to which your caseload and need for prosecuting under various statutes and laws would vary from year to year.
Certainly, that's true.
So that you have to build that into deciding which cases to prosecute to which extent into a typical year in any case. So I guess for that reason, I'd be leaning towards.
Well, if I hear you correctly,
for something extra when you need it,
I see.
Due to some bizarre and unusual circumstance like this.
Okay. Well, just to clarify, the conduct of these cruelty investigations and prosecutions is no longer bizarre and unusual. Unfortunately, we're talking about the last 2 years, and there have been, four that we've taken to court, and now they're pending. So I can tell you for sure that the cases are there. We're not speculating about whether we'll be prosecuting them. It's just where the money's going to come from to prosecute them with.
Martha.
I think the mechanism of putting money there, let it sit there, and not be subject to all. It's not the same as increasing the target, right? That's a nod. That's a yes. So if there's no case like that, the money just sits.
That's
if there are no expenses like that, it sounds like there will be cases, but if there are no expenses like this, the money just waits for the next year.
Yep. Okay.
That's right.
Great. Well, then I think it's time to vote. All right, so we have the motion is $25,000, one time, not subject to rollover. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so all those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, and oppose. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So 7-7. And so that fails, right? That's, yeah. All right. Okay, so that motion has failed. Okay? All right, moving on. Our next, yes, Julie.
Yeah. I just wanted to comment on my vote. I'd be perfectly willing to revisit this, but I want to make sure how much one-time money we're
right.
spending, and I would rather do this toward the end of that, and that would be next time. So,
I'd like to second what Julie just said. Thank you.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about revisiting.
All right, so there's a possibility of a revisit in the future.
Yes.
Then. Okay, great. All right. Thank you, Gwen, for coming.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Next, we have facilities. Dooley, you have a motion to add one-time funds for deferred maintenance of $164,000, $164,073.
I do, but I am uncertain of that figure. I asked Arel if he could please bring us some information about the details of the deferred maintenance that did not get funded by what the county administrator recommended, and what it covers, how much it is, what it doesn't cover. And so I'd appreciate it if Harrell could address this.
Sure.
I would like to move something, but I'm not sure what figure to move.
Understandable. Okay, Harrell.
I have a handout. We printed it shows what it would cover.
Is that's being passed out? The heading is 2009 Deferred Maintenance Reduction Plan, OTR 64. What I requested was $300,000 as part of that OTR. What the county administrator recommended was $135,000 and some change. So the handout that you have, the first column shows 2009 current funding. So that first column is basically the $135,000 that's been recommended to date, plus there's already $100,000 in my base budget. So that's the $235,000 that you see there. The second column is what Dooley is moving now, is the additional $165,000 I rounded up for these additional deferred maintenance items. For a total, the last column is the $400,000. This year we requested $400,000, last year as well the $400,000 to address deferred maintenance. The current funding column, that first column, $235,000, basically those items shown there are those that either have to do with life safety items, legal compliance items, or deterioration or damage to existing facilities. So those are that's how I prioritize that first column. The second column, the $165,000, are what really fall under the category of deferred maintenance. Some of those items were actually deferred from this year, now to 2009. There's another sheet which I can hand out if you'd like, but those are basically unmet needs. Those are, you know, items above and beyond the $400,000. I think the last time that I spoke before this committee, I said there's about $1,040,000 or $55,000. So the other sheet that I haven't handed out, if you'd like to see that one, those are the other items that what I would categorize delayed deferred maintenance. Deferred maintenance we kept bumping to subsequent years because there's just not enough funding. So if you'd like me to hand that out, I can hand it out as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Arel, are the second column items in order of priority?
As much as possible. Some of those are hard to, like, we have old courthouse roof repairs and HVAC system upgrades. It's a split. It's almost half and half split, $40,000 and $45,000 for those two items. Cooling tower at old jail and the roof. I've ordered them as much as possible in priority. Although for the old courthouse, I would probably do the roof repairs before I do the HVAC system upgrades. But to make it simpler for the spreadsheet, I've combined those two. I would do the cooling tower before I would do the Skylight Club roof replacement.
Is the Skylight Club roof leaking or something?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, it's over warranty by 5 years?
Well, to get this on the floor, I will move 165,000 one time.
Okay. Do I have a second? Mm-hmm. All right. Will seconds.
I'll second. Can I ask?
Yes.
Go ahead. What is a cooling tower?
Yes. The old jail cooling tower. Yes.
Yes, what is that?
Oh, it actually sits on top of the old jail, and it actually serves the old courthouse. It provides cooling to the old courthouse. You have a cooling tower, and then there's a chiller down below. So it's for heat rejection.
Part of the HVAC system, or
yes, for okay. the cooling. For so the cooling side of the old courthouse.
But it's on the other building. I understand.
Correct.
All right. Other questions? I have Mike Sigler and then Kathy Lucero.
This is kind of a question for everybody, I guess. Main courthouse repairs, I see on this list. Isn't this the building the state keeps saying that it wants? If that is the case, should we not defer those? Not saying let's let the roof cave in, but if that is an eventuality, is there really a reason for us to invest a lot of money in this?
Well, we still have other departments, county departments in this building. The district attorney's office, legislature, the county clerk. At this point, they're looking for the office of the aging space. Eventually, I mean, our plan, capital plan, shows legislature would move to the center of government building, so this space would eventually be available. I doubt, based on just the square footage numbers, that they would need more than that based on their current space needs. But who knows? I mean, it's a life safety issue, so regardless of who's in the building, I would recommend that we move forward with that type of a system replacement. I mean, we're having difficulty replacing parts on the existing system, so they're obsolete. So that's really the issue with that system there. The state potentially would reimburse us for some of these costs at 25%.
I'm sorry, what percent?
The space that is occupied by the state, which in this building is about 43% of the total square footage,
right.
Of that, so our maintenance for the entire building, whatever we spend per year, they take 43% of that and then apply 25% of that. So, it'll be minimal for a project like this.
Right.
If they totally occupy the building, they'd be 100%, obviously.
All right. I have Kathy Lucera, then Martha Robertson, and then Pam Maxey.
Thank you. I saw here under the OTR 64 that the administrator, the initial request was for $300,000 target. The administrator recommended $100,000 one time. Was the intent of the motion to add $165,000 one time?
Yes.
To the 100?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
My heart would like to make it target, but I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was requested as target, and then the county administrator recommended $100,000 one time. So I always try for target, knowing that I'm not going to get it. Might as well try.
We'll give you a little bit every year.
Yeah, actually, he has. We're up to, as I said, $100,000 is already in target of the $400,000 was originally requested.
Okay, Martha?
We sort of answered the question, but they reimbursed 25% of the 43%?
Well, it comes out to about 10%.
That's what I'm
currently
saying. We get
for this 10%. Building, it's about 10%.
No, wait. Let's pretend that life were fair. So they would pay 43% of maintenance because they occupy 43% of the building. So that would be a reasonable, I think.
No. We take all our costs for maintenance, for cleaning the building, and then they occupy 43%. So they take 43%. And whatever that number is, they reimburse us for maintenance a quarter of that. So it's basically about 10%.
My question is, why do they reimburse a quarter of what?
Because they're the state.
They owe us.
That's by state law.
State law requires us to.
It doesn't.
Provide them facilities.
If it's tenant work, if it's work that it directly impacts their space, they pay 100% reimbursement. But if I replace a rooftop unit on this side of the building that has nothing to do with their side, they're paying basically 10% of that.
Okay.
So, I mean, it works out. Sometimes it doesn't benefit them at all. When it does benefit them entirely, they pay 100%. This fire alarm system would not benefit them entirely. So they, I think it's a good formula.
Okay.
I tried as hard as I can to convince them that it benefits them 100%, but I'm not always successful.
All right, Pam and then Carol, but we're not going to talk any more about this 10% piece.
Oh, I think we should. I just want to say that this, you know, roofs don't repair themselves. This roof is not going to get any better by letting it sit there, nor the HVAC systems. I mean, this is not make good sense to me to allow these things to continue when they need to be taken care of. So I will support this additional one-time $165,000.
Carol.
I'd just like clarification of the request. The $165,000 is the repairs that you're saying that we immediately need to do in 2009. And I had originally understood Dooley's motion to be to make up the difference, the $65,000 difference from the $100,000.
No.
It's
for the full.
Yes, $165,000.
It doesn't include any of the things on the second page that are recommended. It's
okay.
Just.
And what about adding back the amount that we expect the state to reimburse us? Or is that an unreasonable assumption to make? The 25% of the courthouse.
Factored.
Okay.
Martha.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm confused about the numbers. Steve, you included $100,000 already in the OTR. And Aurel, you said there's $100,000 in your base budget. Where did we get $235,000?
I would have had a third column, but that would have confused it with a much, much smaller font. The $400,000 is the deferred maintenance number that we brought before this committee for the last 2 years.
Every year. $400,000
right.
A year.
Right, and that's what will continue, basically. We know that $400,000 is not enough to address the deferred maintenance needs, but that's the number that we have in the 20-year capital plan to help reduce deferred maintenance. So that's the number you should focus on. The $235,000 of that number, $100,000 of that is already in my base budget as target. The balance, $135,000, is what has been recommended by the county administrator as part of the OTR 64. The balance is the $165,000.
I see $100,000.
It's a little more complicated.
Yeah.
Do you want me to clear it up? When we were working on Aurel's budget, we were talking about the HVAC systems control service contract, and we changed the cost of that to multi-year funding. Because we, Aurel believes that in 3 years he can review this, we may not have to continue that contract, or at least at the level that it's being supported right now. We took that $35,000 worth of savings and we added it to his deferred maintenance to increase this target.
Got it. Okay.
$35,927.
Thank you.
Okay.
So.
Any other questions? Yes, Leslie.
I'm with Martha here.
Yes.
$400,000, and you have gotten one-time and target, $235,000.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes!
See, if you gave it to me as target, all of it, then we would be... Next year.
And now Dooley is proposing the difference of $165,000. Thank you.
All right, it looks like you're ready to vote. All right, all those in favor of the motion to for one-time funding of $165,000 for deferred maintenance, all those in favor, please raise your hands. And opposed? All right, so that passes 12-2.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Aurel.
Right around.
Okay. Next, we have Dooley again. You move this to the next meeting, right? Yep, okay. So we also have you for $4,800 for window blinds for mental health.
I do. And that's OTR-12, and Bob DeLuca has sent over detailed explanation of how come there are no blinds on these windows. And it's fun to read, actually, so if you don't mind waiting for people to get the paper.
Yeah, sure. So why can't we use, like, a sheet? I mean,
it's not a dorm room.
Nathan, that soaps and curtains in a minute.
For people who are perhaps listening to this broadcast, there was a client, a building committee that oversaw the construction of the mental health building, and the architect assured the committee that the windows were sufficiently tinted to block the sun, and so they wouldn't need coverage. But that turns out to have been totally wrong. And as the building got used, people on certain, I guess the south and west sides, discovered that those were the ones early on who had computers, and there was glare from the screens, and they were having trouble using it. Now all employees use computers, and the sun moves, and it comes in different ends of the buildings. A few blinds have been placed in a few windows, but the lack of blinds has just made working conditions really unacceptable in this day and age. At the bottom of this sheet, it's summarized that the combination of the erroneous assumption that tinting would take care of glare was wrong, and now that computers are used throughout the building, the position of workstations and windows has to be considered. And in addition to that, the lack of blinds affects how well the heating and cooling system works, because some rooms get much hotter and they will ask for adjustments, and facilities gets called pretty often to adjust things which really aren't adjustable but could be helped by having blinds on the windows.
All right, very compelling arguments. Thank you, Dooley. Dooley, do you have a motion?
I do. It's one-time money, $4,800 for these missing blinds.
All right, do I have somebody seconding that? All right, Will seconds. All right, any further discussion? Yes, Jim.
I'm curious, who is the architect on the building?
I don't know.
Well, is it a secret? I mean,
no.
Come on, Frank, this is when we need you the most.
Yeah. We can find out.
Oh, okay. Well,
the architect on the building was Bill. It started out with the fellow that owns the
DeWitt building.
Bill Downing, and then George, someone took over from him.
Yeah, he didn't finish the design.
Bill did not finish.
Okay. All right.
I actually know both people. And,
all right, looks like we're ready to vote.
George. You want to postpone the vote until I research it?
No, all right. I know who you're talking about, Frank.
Okay, great. Hey, Tim, I think you have a front page story right here.
Yeah.
All right. All right. All those in favor, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 opposed. 10-4. All right. One of the most controversial motions of the evening. Okay. Next up, we have Dooley has another motion, but this one pertains to the Tompkins County Public Library, OTR 4, on page 21 of your OTR pages. Go ahead, Dooley.
Well, at our last meeting, I indicated that I had planned to make a motion dealing with these half-time positions, which the library has told us for years they need to refill. These were positions they used to have, and we've not given them to them, and the consultant on the business process of the library said they absolutely need these. So I warned you at the last meeting I was going to move this. But then I heard Janet say these positions are her top priority, more so even than books, and the money that we did give her, that the county administrator, I believe, gave her, unspecified reduction in the amount she asked for, she would use initially to fill what positions she could. So I'm not going to move what I thought I was going to move, but because if she's really going to have somebody able to process the books, I'd like to move one-time money for some books again this year, which is what we did last year. And I'll pick a number, 25,000. I think that's what we did last year one time, so I'll move that.
All right, do I have a second?
No, I'll second.
Okay, all right. Will, you've been you seconded twice already, so.
Oh, well, somebody
we'll go with Mike Sigler. Mike Sigler
second.
All right. Okay, just further discussion.
Oh, the seconds are being rationed.
Right. Sure, it's
a fly. All right. Yes, Martha.
Okay, just slow on the uptake here. Shifting from one from your first thing to the other. So you're saying that the target 50,000 that was included that Jen has said she's going to put into staff. So you're saying this is 25,000. Did you say one time?
One time for acquisitions, I should say. I assume it, I think of everything as books, but I should be broader than that and say acquisitions.
Can I ask where we stand on our one time?
1.1 million.
1.1 million?
On one time funding?
That's on that line.
Available. We've been, three, so.
The line
so
we've been watching. We're right now at about a million.
Yeah. Yes. In other words, we should be careful. Right. Okay, so it looks like we're ready to vote. All those in favor of one-time funding to the Tompkins County Public Library for books in the amount of, was it, did you say 35?
I said
25. Sorry. $25,000.
Feel free to amend it.
Oh, no, I'm all right. Yeah. All right, all those in favor, please raise your hands. One, two, three, four. Four in favor and opposed.
I reserve the right to change my mind.
Okay, so that's that fails 4-10.
It's always good.
All right. Okay, are there any other TCPL motions you have, Dooley?
No,
okay.
Not at this time.
Not at this time, okay. All right. And then also you have the finance department one is also yours, isn't it, Dooley?
It is, and that's... Yeah. That's not a motion, really, but it's a concern that I wanted to share. In my opinion, the finance department is not overstaffed, but understaffed. I think of purchasing, where there's one person, and that person is, in my view, overworked. When that person is absent for any number of reasons, it makes things harder. There have been some errors, in my view, that have happened because of that, some omissions that have happened, and I am very concerned that no additional staffing is being used for that department, is being asked for that department, and in fact, instead, there seem to be cuts anticipated. I need to look up the page. I don't have it open yet.
The OTR is 15.
The page.
The
pages, yeah.
Page 7. Well, the budget recommendation is the position would be attritioned out over 2 years. But it wasn't in purchasing. It was
no.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're correct in the sense that we're... been marginalized in our capacity to handle various functions. Purchasing is the most vulnerable because we fill in as best we can when the one staff person assigned to the activity is there.
So, if I recall, you had an OTR that was to keep your staff at 40 hours instead of 37 and a half?
Yeah, what happens in... I put it that way. It's really not the staffing that's driving the issue. It's the contractual, because we don't have any control over our basically mandated contractual obligations of the audit, the maintenance fees, the support of the county software for our financial applications. So it comes out the staffing is what put the pressures with them. And we've been, we've been funding the operation by using rollover the last 3 years to continue to fund operations. That's not the most desirable practice. And but the gap has grown. Part of the gap has grown from last year we used $25,000 to fund operations. This year it's $57,000. But this year also we took a cut of $15,000 in the target. So the gap went from about $25,000 to $40,000, but it's really $57,000 because of the so I appreciate Dooley bringing this up, but I thought that the legislature probably would have a lot of pressure this year, so we were in good shape with rollover, so we didn't press the issue. Next year, you know, it's going to be an issue next year, because we definitely will probably not have enough rollover to fill a gap in again.
Well, in my view, using rollover to support staff is just not the way we should be doing anything. And if you have rollover, I'd rather you give it back in return for target money for actual positions that you need. If you think you're going to reorganize in a year or two or three, that's time enough to come and make the changes. I don't like building it into the budget this way at all. And so I guess I wasn't going to make a motion, but I think I will suggest that we make you whole and take back your rollover. And I don't have a number, Norma.
Well, the rollover to support the budget is $57,000.
That's what you need for next year.
That was the gap in the budget this year.
The amount you need for next year, though, you know you're going to need, was 15,000 targets, which is that, that's what you were saying.
Well, 15,000 was what the target was actually reduced in our contribution to relieve the pressure on the budget.
Right. So, wait, what's the motion?
Well, that's, I'm trying to find out. The reduction in target seems a misdirected attempt to save money to me, because the department needs the staff. And to continue to support staff with rollover and accept a target cut seems absolutely going in the wrong direction. I don't know whether a new county administrator will have some brilliant idea about how to make things better, but I do not want to see our finance department continue on this path, which seems ill-advised to me. So I would like to restore the target and take back whatever rollover you have, and in return for giving you the rest of the target that you need to support your department at the level it's at, which in my view is already too small in numbers. And I don't know what number to use.
All right. Can I have Norma or David tell me those numbers?
And if you'd rather put this off for the next meeting, that would be fine.
All right. Yeah.
But I wanted to get this on the floor, because I'm really concerned.
All right. So we'll put it on to the next meeting then. All right. Mike?
I would propose that we consider two-year funding, because we have a capital project with payroll software coming that could take about 2 years to roll out, get training, and it could result in reorganization cost savings, depending on how that works, because the functions will then be transferred to the actual departments to enter that data, as opposed to time cards being sent into a central office. The old paper and pen method.
Currently, there is this department has 2 year funding as part of the county administrator's recommendation.
Oh, okay. I thought it was one time.
Okay, so we'll probably have a motion in the next.
That doesn't solve the purchasing.
Yeah. So that's why we need to spend a little more time on it in the next meeting. All right, great. All right, anything else?
No.
Mike, and then Martha.
Yeah, I just had a question that's going to be handled next time.
Yeah.
And our meeting a week ago today, I believe, we made an adjustment to the assigned counsel. And there was a linked transaction or budget action here in terms of target for human rights? Get all my terms in human rights. Will that automatically get undone, or do we need to take action on that?
Norma?
There's a memo in your packet on the memo to the legislature.
Yeah.
Number three, there's a changed narrative. It's the last, it's a question from Martha. The last question on that page. The human rights director rewrote the description for that paralegal position that you're referring to. And I can add that to the over-target request, so that's in the record, that it's the responsibilities are not what the responsibilities are showing in the current over-target request, because the funding wasn't there. We didn't approve the funding. It's already been reduced. The answer to your question is there really isn't necessarily a new motion for that.
All right. If I understand it right, this position was going to be funded by rollover.
That's correct.
It's a new position.
Right. It's not a new position. It's an existing position.
Oh, it's an existing position.
Yes.
Okay. And since we undid the potential change with assigned counsel, we've just redefined what the person's going to do now.
That's great. Clarified what they're going to do now.
Okay. Martha and then Frank.
I was hoping to get a summary of what do we... the next meeting is our fourth voting meeting, so I was wondering, what do we still have to look at? Do we have a sense of what are all the things that we said we'd wait till the fourth meeting and that sort of thing? Do we have a list?
I have a few things still on the schedule for next week.
All right, well, why don't we send that out as soon as we have it finalized?
Oh, well, I mean, if you could read them off, then I could, because I'm trying to think of the things that I was thinking of. Okay.
I have currently the Ithaca Downtown Alliance as one of the items. Probation Department is pending information on probation and community justice. I also have a request to target fund the systems analyst position. Highway Department adding funding for highway materials. And possibly revisiting the Lansing Library funding.
Revisits now?
Some of those are revisits.
Yeah.
Naming.
Yeah, revisits. Yeah. This is...
you're right. I went right on to October 15th.
Oh, okay. So all right, great.
My apologies. So that's all I have right now is the Ithaca Downtown Alliance, Probation, Community Justice, and Highway Department.
So in order.
Yes. Oh, and the ones that from tonight, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Finance Department, the Soil and Water, and the District Attorney.
Mike?
Can I have some clarification about, I believe... on the 14th, we have a meeting scheduled for 4 hours. If we only have an hour of motions, are we necessarily going to just adjourn and go until the 15th for revisits, or could we then make a determination, possibly after a break, to go to revisit, which I would prefer?
Well, can we weigh in on that?
Yeah.
If that would be unfair to anyone that we may want to bring for one of the revisits, if we catapult that ahead. I understand your concern, Mike, but some of us may even have new things we'd like to bring forward.
Absolutely. If there's 10 new things, but it only fills up.
Well, it sounds like we almost have a pretty full. Meeting on the 14th here with the items that were unfinished from this evening or carried forward.
Yeah, there'll be like seven items at least, right?
I wouldn't want to jam that meeting up on the 14th so that we could move this ahead too quickly.
Of the seven items that were mentioned, several of them were already on the revisit list. So maybe even if half of the meeting, and maybe there's going to be new motions before next Tuesday, that would be fine, of course.
But well, then why don't we take Norma? How many items are there for that meeting? I think if you combine the ones today and then the four that you mentioned that were not revisits, right?
Eight.
It's eight. Right. So we have eight things at the next meeting. I mean, seven. I mean, I think that can. I mean,
it's about half a meeting then.
Yeah,
it's
a
15 minutes each.
All right.
This is why I want it read aloud, because I don't hear COFA and Lifelong on there.
Well, that's
that's part of.
That's part of some of the stuff that got rolled over today.
They're lumped together, but it was soil and water and COPA as a contingent fund.
They were ones that.
I wouldn't put COPA with soil and water.
Well, that's
That's the way it was in today's agenda, and then so we moved it over.
Okay.
All right. So, in terms of the next meeting, I mean, gosh, you know, so we have seven items on it.
Nine items. Right.
All right. So what, you want to, should we, what's that? So why don't we just move like three of the items from the revisit list, the top three, and start hammering away at a few of them. And then that way there's still sufficient time to let people know. And so that way we just make the most efficient use of our time. All right, so let's take like three of those.
I would much prefer to have a week's break between the end of the voting sessions and revisit. And not start moving in right away.
All right, well then let's just do
it. I'd love a short meeting.
Okay. All right, well, we can discuss it out. Why don't we just do a vote? You know, I won't make a determination on my
The schedule
own.
Says the next day is first revisit.
Yeah. The 15th.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the 15th is next.
I'd like to do away with that and take the long break.
Well, these are already scheduled, so. All right. So who wants to just have the items and then take on about three revisit items on at our next meeting? Who's in favor of that? All right. One, two, three, four, five, six, and who's opposed to that? All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, obviously some people just don't really have an opinion. All right, so okay, well that basically we'll just have our own revisit meeting. We'll separate the two. So we're just our next meeting is going to be just those eight or nine items. Okay, Frank.
Nathan, a couple of questions.
Yeah.
First, on some of the items that there were questions about tonight, where some members said, if this comes back, I may change my mind, but I need some more information. Particularly, of course, the one that I brought forward on the DA. Could you contact me? I don't know who voted which way. The only people I saw were people I could see. If you have questions, can we know who to call on other items that are on there so that we can get our questions answered? I mean, how will we know that?
Right, okay. So, well, when this information gets sent out to you, it usually has the name of the person that is making the motion. So
because some people had legitimate questions or reservations, and we ought to have a chance to address them. The second is I want to go back to the comment that Pam and I both made with regard to the maintenance of effort item. I'd like some clarification as to when the county took on the responsibility of absorbing the maintenance of effort items for all of the agencies. And I don't know who to ask that of.
It's never been a policy. It's just been something that you kind of drifted into over the last few years of trying to treat the agencies on an equal footing with departments. And it just depends on how you define that, but it has evolved into a maintenance of effort concept. Okay.
All right. Last comments, Martha. All right, Kathy, did you have a comment?
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. All right. So, Kathy, first.
I just wanted to ask, as per our custom, if at the end of the meeting we could review what the projected tax levy is right now.
Yes. All right. Let's do that. Yeah, Norma, we're at 3.13%. And that puts us how much, in terms of actual dollars, how much over the 3% goal is that? It's about, 50, what is that, like 50,000 or so?
About, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so we're about $50,000 over the 3% goal at the moment. And then
below $1 million in fund balance, $970,000.
And we're below, okay. All right.
Just fast when you have a
fund. All right.
At the other part of that is, how much
Go ahead,
would the canonical $160,000 assessed homeowner pay in taxes.
In additional taxes, a little over $5.
Yeah.
No, at 3.13, it's going to be like, no, well, a little over, yeah. Could you say that again? I didn't hear.
It's on the memo. It's basically about $5.
3.13% increase
for a median value.
The median valued property would increase a little bit more than $5 over last year's tax burden.
Okay, and then last question, Martha.
I made a note about the tourism budget, and somebody mentioned it tonight. Don't we have to vote on that as part of this?
The tourism budget is part of the line item budget.
It's already in there. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
All right, with that, I think our meeting is adjourned. So thank you very much, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you.